This is Introduction to Mercy Baptist Church, Part 6. Part 5 was last week. Parts 1, 2, 3, and 4 were like a while ago. Part 6 is one topic that everybody needs to grapple with. Leaving your church. As you join our church, those of you who have already joined our church, or those of you who are in the process of joining our church, or are listening to this months and years in the future, I want to equip you to leave your church well. So I'm going to use the standard questions: who, what, when, where, how, why. Now, a big old clarification is that there is never a good time to teach a lesson like this. People are always leaving any church. But to give myself a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, these are things that I've literally been thinking about and writing notes about for years, but I've never actually written them down. So don't think that I'm hinting at anybody or calling out anybody or pointing a finger at anybody who has left or is in the process of leaving or is even thinking about leaving the church. This is just something that our church needs regardless. So I want this lesson to be a resource to you if, which more than likely is actually when, you leave our church so that you can do so in a way that honors the Lord. So let's ask those questions: who, what, when, where, how, why. Let's start with who. Who are you? If you, for instance, are not a Christian, then you should leave our church. If you are not walking with the Lord and do not want to start walking with the Lord, in other words, you are unrepentant and you want to stay in your unrepentance, you might need to leave. Or, on the other hand, we might have to disfellowship you, sometimes called excommunication. Or, if you are in a Christian and already in the church, then it would be helpful to know some good reasons and some not as good reasons to leave our church. And we'll talk about those in a few minutes. So that's the who. Here's the what. What is my condition? Ask yourself, what is my condition right now? For instance, have you been hurt by somebody in the church? Are you physically in pain as you are in this particular season of life? I didn't mean hurt, by the way, as in someone has physically hurt you. Go talk to the police if that's the case, but you know what I mean. Have you gone through a season of affliction or oppression or suffering recently? That's going to affect who you are and what you are like. Don't underestimate the feelings that can affect how you interact with people at your church and how you are able to think clearly or not about your church situation. Another question, ask yourself, am I spiritually slipping, in other words, backsliding, but I don't realize it? So here's some markers that you might be intentionally or unintentionally slipping back from your church. Are you finding yourself suddenly very busy and you have trouble meeting with the leadership? That could be one sign that you are backsliding without knowing it. Are other activities taking priority over attending church and its events and meeting with people in the church? Another question is, has your financial giving slowly diminished from what it used to be? Or are you no longer reaching out to people in the church for that community and that camaraderie? You're distancing yourself without realizing it. When people reach out to you, are you slow to reply to them because you don't feel as close to them as you used to be? Do you find yourself telling others about how discontent you are at your church? Has your service in the church took a back seat to other life priorities? So if one of those things, one or more of those things are true, it could be, though not necessarily, be that you are backsliding. And in which case, it similarly to your physical affliction, it could affect your ability to think clearly about staying at your church. So what are some reasons? Let's look at some good reasons and some bad reasons. To be clear, not all of these are reasons you must leave a church. Many of them are good reasons that you could or maybe even should leave a church, and it does take a lot of discernment. So let's look at some good reasons to leave a church. Our brother Cliff Scholes, was a deacon of our church and a member for over 40 years. He passed away in early 2018. Some of you are here and got to meet him. If you must die, you have to leave our membership. We will take you off. Now that sounds funny, but people will keep, church leaders and churches will keep people on their membership rolls after they die to make their church seem bigger than it actually is, as bizarre as that is. So if you die, sorry, we're taking you off the church membership roll. That's number one. Number two, you live too far away from your church to effectively be members. For instance, you move from Cincinnati area to Dayton. Well, there's good churches in Dayton. I can see how that might be a good reason to leave a church. Or let's say you move from Cincinnati to Nashville. Well, obviously, we don't want you commuting 4 hours from Nashville to Cincinnati every Sunday. You need to move, attend a church that's closer to you. God, in his providence, does move people from place to place. And it's not wrong to leave a church because you relocate to somewhere that's too far away to drive to your current church and need a church that's in that particular area. Number three, doctrine. This could be either us and our doctrine or you and your doctrine. For instance, if we espouse a heretical theological position, please, Lord, may it never be, but if we somehow say that there is one God and one person and three modes, then you would rightly say, no, I need to find a new church. Or that Jesus was one person, but he didn't have two natures. Well, that would be a heretical position. And that would be similar to what Paul said to the Galatians. I am amazed that you are so quickly turning away from him who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to another gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but that there are some who are troubling you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Or something that's not heresy, but still wrong. Let's say we decide we're going to become Mercy Presbyterian Church. And you say, no, I'm pretty much a Baptist. Not going to happen. Then you should leave and find a different church. If we change our position so that we no longer believe what you once believed, in other words. Or let's say, on the other hand, that you espouse a theological position that we think is wrong. For instance, you change your view on justification, sanctification, and glorification, basically say they're all the same thing. I once knew a guy who believed that. Well, that's contrary to our confession of faith, what we believe. That is not going to be in accordance with our church. Or you decide that you have become charismatic or continuationist, and you believe that all the spiritual gifts still apply today, including healing, speaking in tongues, prophesying, apostles. Well, that's outside of what we would believe, and so you might need to leave our church. Or you espouse a position that we don't think is right. You can stay here if you want, but it might entail you need to find a new church, like psalm singing only. There are people out there who think that it's only psalms that should be sung, and everything that we sing should be psalms. And we would say, well, no, we don't think that that's right, and you probably should find a different church. Number four, philosophy of ministry. Admittedly, this could go either way. For instance, let's say a family is convinced that a church must have a plurality of elders, and not just ideally, but actually must, and that the church is being biblically disobedient, even if there's only one qualified man. That would be a philosophy of ministry thing. Or a philosophy of ministry in regards to the family. The families have to be in the church service, and there shouldn't be a nursery, or there shouldn't be such a thing as Sunday school. It's called family integrated. Philosophy of ministry differences. Or, for instance, there's a movement within our own circles where all those who are pastors should be compensated, and as much so, perhaps even fully compensated, then every elder who is on in office has to be also on staff. Well, that might entail you needing to find a new church. Or missions and missionaries. How much do you support a missionary at? How many missionaries do you have? Or what about the preaching starts to deteriorate? I know a church where the pastor eventually planted his own church because the pastor of the church that he was attending was just standing up there week in and week out and telling jokes every Sunday. He thought he was a one-man comedian and a stand-up comic, and this pastor friend of mine said, I need the word. And so he went and planted his own church. Number five, leadership. Titus 1:7, an overseer of God's household must be blameless, not arrogant, hot-tempered, not an excessive drinker, not a bully or greedy for money. So a pastor is not supposed to be a bully. Admittedly, that's subjective, but I could see how that might be a reason to leave your church. Or what about financial impropriety? If the church is like, yeah, I think it's fine that the pastor can just use the credit card, church credit card, for whatever he wants and however he wants to, you would say, no, that's both unwise and illegal, so I need to find a new church. Or philosophy of ministry and leadership, excuse me. There is a leader in the church who is sexually abusing or is allowing sexual abuse in the church. An overseer must be above reproach. That would go against what Scripture says. And another subjective one, a pastor's family is not under control. 1 Timothy 3, if anyone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of God's church? If your kids are going out there doing crazy things, it might not be the wisest for that person to be a pastor at that particular time. Now, make sure that this isn't a situation where you're not just receiving good pastoral care, but you're just not receiving it as pastoral care. A lot of what is called bullying is actually good pastoral care, but it's being called bullying because we live in an age where everything is an abuse of power. But there is legitimately abuse of power, but we must need to get counsel and do so very carefully. If your counsel, for instance, agrees that this is bullyish, then maybe you should find a new church. Number six, if the members or leaders are living in a way that is contrary to the gospel, then you can leave. For instance, I know a family who once left their church because the leadership and then eventually the church became not only allowing of, but supportive of families wanting to abort their children in utero. Romans 16 says, now I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who create divisions and obstacles contrary to the teaching that you learned. Avoid them. Another example of unholiness would be what we see in 1 Corinthians 5. This is crazy to our ears today, but a kind of sexual immorality where a man was sleeping with his father's wife, like his stepmom or something like that, incestuous relationship. And of course, Paul came down hard on them, as you can imagine, and he said, clean out the old leavens that you may have a new unleavened batch. And then he talks about how Jesus is our Passover lamb. He says not to associate with anyone who claims to be a brother or sister and is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater or verbally abusive, a drunkard or a swindler. Don't even eat with such a person. God judges outsiders. Remove the evil person from among you. Or 2 Thessalonians, keep away from the brother or sister who is idle and doesn't live according to the traditions. Don't associate with him so that he may be ashamed. Here's one that's applicable. Number seven, marriage. You get married or remarried to someone in a different church and you decide to join his church instead. Number eight, you leave to join another church that needs you. You leave to help out a small church that is dying, as the Kickbushes did several years ago. You leave to help out a church plant. If we decide that we're going to plant a church and we send you out, hopefully it's not because we're kicking you out, but because we are sending you out. Or let's say that you leave to become the pastor of another church. If Kyle decides he wants to go into pastoral ministry and we send him out to the pastor of another church, praise the Lord. Number nine, and this has happened even to churches that I know of, your church is closing. It's a sad reason, but it's a good reason to find a new church. You can no longer attend your current church. Number 10, division and fighting. This could be a good reason to leave your church. 1 Corinthians 3, I'm not able to speak to you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as babies in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, because you are not ready for it. In fact, you are still not ready because you are worldly. When there is envy and strife among you, are you not worldly and acting like mere humans? When cases like this happen, when there's strife and envy, I don't blame people who want to leave because they don't want to be in a church that's fighting or splitting about something. Now, a person could leave because of that, but doesn't have to leave because of that. In fact, in many cases, it could be wiser to stay in the church and wait it out and be that influence for good rather than for bad. And then there is retirement. A person like me, who is the pastor, could legitimately leave the church because I'm retiring and I'm no longer going to be on staff here and I'm going to find a new church. Tom Wells, our founding pastor, did this. He retired, went to a different church for a while, eventually came back, but he wanted to have there be space without him for a while. And there's a big reason that you should leave your local church. Big, massive, huge, enormous reason. What is the best reason of all to leave your local church? Jesus returns. That's the best reason to leave your local church. That would be great. We all leave this church. We join the church triumphant. Sound like a good plan? Let's do it. All right, now here's some bad reasons to leave your local church. And I've already hinted at some of these. Unrepentance. Sometimes I look back upon some of my friends from yesteryear, and I think, how was it that they came to no longer attend not only their church, but any church? What's unrepentance? They have walked in such a way that they've loved their sin more than they've loved their Savior. Or in some cases, they just stopped attending their church, and eventually the church just took them off the rolls, which we have a policy in place for that. When it comes to church discipline, you can be disfellowshipped out of a church because of heretical views or lack of repentance or heresy. Some of you were present a few years ago when we disfellowshipped a young man in our church who came to what's called the position of radical or full preterism, meaning that everything that Scripture foretold would happen has already happened, meaning that Jesus has already come back and we're living in the end times. And eventually he just came to abandon his faith entirely, and so we had to remove him. Another bad reason. You start noticing that such and such church does a better job at fill in the blank than your church does. In other words, church envy. You don't like your current church. Number three, children, parenting. Well, my kids don't like my church, and so we need to go find a church that's more suited for them. There are certain circumstances where I could see that that could apply, but the tail must not wag the dog. We must have parental leadership in regards to our church. Now here's one, and this is going to sound silly, but this sometimes is the case, but people would never admit this to themselves. People are looking for the perfect church. Every aspect of the church must be aligned with your goals and for your philosophies and your preferences. No, we can't have a piano. We have to have organ. No, we can't have hymnals. We have to have screens. No, we can't have blue carpet. We have to have red carpet. And people just start lining things up, and eventually it becomes, I'm looking for the perfect church. So how do you know if that's the case, if you're looking for a perfect church? Here are some questions to ask yourself. How often do you move churches? What kind of issues and how many issues do you disagree on? And what is the nature of the disagreement on those issues? Number five, bad reason. I sound like I'm David Letterman up here giving the top 10 or something. Number five, homogeneity. In other words, there's no one in the church that's like me. I want somebody who's brown-haired, blue-eyed, with curls, and who's right-handed. Well, that just gets silly eventually. Nobody would admit to that, but there are people who leave the churches because, well, there's no one in my age group, or there's not enough people in my gender, or the people don't have the same interests as I do, or friendships are different. Number six, interpersonal. Just as an interpersonal and difficulty with division and splitting in the church could be a good reason to leave the church, it could also be a bad reason to leave your church. You and some other family can't get along. Well, that wouldn't be a good reason to leave your church. You work through your differences. Musical, I alluded to this a moment ago. hymnals versus screens, instrumentation versus a smaller instrumentation versus a larger instrumentation. Number 8, relocation. Not only can this one be a good reason, but a bad reason too. For instance, you move to a place where there are no good churches there. Well, that's not a good reason. You should move to a place where there are good churches. Do your homework ahead of time. You shouldn't leave your church unless you can be for certain that there will be a good church for you to join in the new place where you are going. Preaching, number 9. Just as preaching can be a good reason to leave the church, preaching can also be a bad reason to leave the church. What about the preaching do you not like? Is it the length? Is it the content? Is it the style? He uses too many illustrations, not enough illustrations, too much application, too little application. Much of preaching varies greatly from preacher to preacher, even within a preacher himself. When I listen to my sermons from 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago, there's a big difference. So that may not necessarily be a reason to leave a church. Number 10, pastoral untrustworthiness. I want to nuance this very carefully. You know how pastors can be untrustworthy because they can be bullies? Well, people can bully pastors too. In other words, your lack of trust for someone does not necessarily indicate their lack of untrustworthiness. It could be an indication of something in you, not them. Number 11, divisions. You could leave for poor reasons, not just good reasons to leave the church, but without wisdom, counsel, patience, you could stay and wait it out, seeing what God will do to redeem the situation. Number 12, leadership aspirations. I've had this happen in my church here. A man who wanted to be an elder, and the church wouldn't make him an elder, so he left for greener pastures. So in my experience, which admittedly is limited, when a man shows aspirations of being an elder or a deacon, if he shows increasing patience, humility, and maturity, he will probably be an elder or a deacon eventually. But often, men don't wait long enough, they are not humble enough, or they don't grow enough in order to become an officer of the church. And so then they leave out of discontentment. Okay, so if you're thinking about leaving our church, how do you know whether your reasons are good or bad? How do you go about making a decision? First, ask yourself, and of course your spouse as well, questions like these. Am I following the principles mentioned in our members' covenant? Am I forbearing and covering offenses in love? Or am I being quick to be offended? Or are my disagreements a matter of degree or a matter of principle? No, we disagree principally. Or is it just like, well, I think they should be this much and he thinks it should be this much? For instance, when it comes to degree and principle, if you move to a new area and we're considering joining a new church, would this be a deal breaker? Or is it the fact that you're currently in the church and there's a rub there that means that it's a degree, not necessarily a principle? And here's a bunch of other questions that I stole from 9 Marks. Are you counting others more significant than yourselves? Have you been demonstrating an eagerness to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace in the church? Are your concerns about the new direction biblical or cultural? Have you spoken with an elder about your concerns? If so, and you've not been heard, is there any chance that you are now personally offended in such a way that your judgment is clouded? By the same token, is there anyone you need to forgive? Any sour relationships going on? Who would be affected by your departure? That's a question we need to think about. It's not just about me, but we affect other people. Would your leaving help to protect the gospel because your faith will be hurt in this church and you will not encourage others to stay either, or hurt the gospel because as a professing believer, you should be pursuing patience and forgiveness, not just an easy way out? Next, and now I'm back to my stuff. That was all the quote. Pray about it. I don't mean like vague prayer, but you in your specific, in your daily devotional time, have specific prayers for whether you should leave the church. If you are married, bring your spouse into it. You pray together, should we leave this church? And do so for a period of weeks or months. Ask God to check your heart for sin. See if there is any grievous way in me. Psalm 139. Next, get counsel from people outside your church. And the multitude of counselors are safety. That's Proverbs. But make sure you get it from somebody outside your church, because otherwise it could be gossiping or colluding from within the church. For instance, a sister church that's not in our area. That would be a great person to ask their pastors, hey, here's a situation I'm struggling with. What do you think? Or your brother-in-law's pastor in Oregon. There's no connection. We don't know each other. No personal things. Your cousin who's an elder in Columbus. Okay, sure. Somebody who's outside the current situation. And I say this because there, I think every pastor has gotten a letter or a message like this, including me. A bunch of us have been talking, and we agree that blank is a problem. Wait a second. You've been talking to other people about your problems with me? Why didn't you talk to me beforehand? If I start talking with someone, and I go, huh, Meg has an issue, and Chris has an issue, and Jeremiah has an issue, and it's all the same thing, but they haven't talked to one another, I start going, oh, maybe the problem's with me and not with you. Could it be godly and wise that people can talk together and agree that it's not the best place to leave, to stay, but to leave instead? Possibly, but it could also be divisive and gossipy. So when you ask your counselors, ask questions like these. After hearing my rationale, could you summarize it for me? Can you summarize my rationale for me? Do you think it's time for me to leave my church, or should I stay and work through the issues? Based on what you've heard me say, am I avoiding someone or some situation? Or something like this, would you leave this church if you were in this situation? And then, of course, next, talk with your pastor, your elders. And by the way, don't ever ask to meet with a pastor without saying why you want to meet. It's like the most ominous thing in the world to be like, pastor, I want to meet and talk with you. I guarantee you I will ask what you want to meet about, because that is too mysterious. You could say something like, I want to meet to talk about our future at church. Okay, I can see where you're going with that. Or you can just come right out and say it. We're thinking about leaving another church, leaving to find another church. Can we talk about it? Okay, sure, we can talk about that. You could even ask him or them, the elders, do you think these are legitimate reasons to leave our church? If you ask these questions after you pick up your pastor or elders off the floor because they've been so flabbergasted at you asking for their perspective, you might be surprised at their answer. Next, seek to hand off your membership from one church to your next church. We call it in our bylaws transferring your membership. So you're not quitting your membership, but you're transferring it from one local body to another. And do your best, once you find the church, to join as quickly as possible. That's part of our members' covenant. And look for a church where you can serve, not just be served. Now let's talk about how you leave. What kind of manner should you have as you leave? Here's how not to. You just disappear. Ghosting is what we call it nowadays. So behind the scenes, you're watching other people's live streams and listening to sermons of other churches. You start sneaking away from time to time. When the preaching pastor is gone, you start to visit other churches. And then sometimes when that happens, the pastor gets a message from another church's pastor and says, hey, I met the so-and-sos. They've been visiting our church. Do you know them? Are they members of your church? And I have to be like, oh, I didn't know they were visiting other places, or I didn't know that they were visiting other places intentionally. And then sometimes people become less frequent in attendance and they just disappear. Just as bad is announcing loudly or angrily, I'm leaving the church, and I want everybody to know that I'm mad and I'm leaving the church. Well, that's not good either. I remember shortly after I went to a pastoral internship at a church, I found out that the previous assistant pastor had left and emailed everyone in the congregation a long letter as to why they had left the church. 100% do not recommend that. Complaining. Don't leave a list of complaints for the leadership, and definitely don't air those on social media. If you need to leave, your pastor will know your list. You don't have to write it out for him. So how to leave your church well. If that's bad, confirm with the elders that you are leaving. Keep asking good questions. Hey, can you recommend some good churches for me and my family? What should I look for in a new church? Or do you know any good churches in the such and such area where we live? You could even ask, how would you like me to tell our church family? What are some helpful ways that we can gently and humbly tell our church family? What should I tell them that my reasons are? And then when you do inform your friends and church family, do so without bashing people. You could just say something vague like, well, we had a different direction that we wanted to go in the church, and the leadership did not agree with the direction. Tell them humbly and gently, since many undoubtedly will be hurt, church members. What about the timing of it? You decided to leave your church, and you have reasons for doing so. You've talked with your pastors. When to do so? Is any time as good as any? No. Sometimes they're better than others. When others are already leaving the church, it might not be the best time for you to leave. For instance, prior to my arrival here, there were two families who left this church. Again, I wasn't here yet. But they left for completely different reasons. But the leadership at the time felt like it was for the same reason. They felt like there was like a movement, a split going on. And it can feel like that to some people, even if they're for completely different reasons. So what about good timing? Try to leave the church, if possible, I know it's not easy to do, when the church is at peace. After you've said your goodbyes, whatever that may look like, you can leave the church. After you've handed off your responsibilities to other people, then you can leave the church. Where to go after you leave? You want to find a gospel-preaching, Bible-believing church. Paul Washer has some quote like, care more about how close your church is to the Bible than how close your church is to the house. I'm paraphrasing, but you get the idea. This is more important than anything else. That being said, a church near you is a good thing to look for. In all seriousness, if you found a fantastic church, but it's an hour drive away, how involved could you really be in that particular church? So that means that when you buy a new house or when you find a new place to live or rent, always do the geographical math, not only from your workplace, how long is the commute, but also how long does it take to get to church? Because you really are not going to be as able to get involved if the church is far away. And then find the church next where you can serve. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve by laying down his life for the church. And if you want to be like Jesus, which we all do, shouldn't you go to a church where you can serve? So let's say you leave your church for poor reasons and in a poor manner at a poor time. Is it sad? Undoubtedly. Is it sin? Perhaps. Probably. I don't know. Depends on the circumstances. But can God use even sinful reasons and sinful ways and sinful manners to grow you and glorify him? Absolutely. Questions? I know that it's a little more lecture-like than normal because of the recorded nature of this, but any questions or comments or feedback?
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what you're saying about like when you leave a church, you don't have to like explicitly in your letter say all the reasons.
Yeah.
Tell everyone. I can see how in some cases that would be a really good thing, but in other cases, what if your church is legitimately in sin or off on something? It feels like you're hiding the truth.
Mm.
So how do you know the wisdom of when it's like a you problem that you're leaving?
Yeah.
That could even be a good thing.
Yeah.
Or like this is something where you should bring darkness into light. How do you know?
That's where you might need to bring counsel in, because some situations are so tricky that you're like, in hindsight, I don't know what I should do. This is too difficult. So when you get counsel, they might be able to like hear your story and take out all the angst and kind of hear it in its more objective format and say, oh yeah, that your church is going heretical. They don't even believe that Jesus is God anymore. I mean, you got to denounce this and tell everyone, we're leaving this church because of this heretical reason.
Yeah.
But most reasons are probably not a matter of heresy. They're probably a matter of practicality. So lean on if you can't, if you don't trust the elders at that particular church, then lean on some elders or some other godly men and women at some other church that's not going to be affected and connected to your current church. That's a good question. Liam?
Regarding the concept of transferring membership, can you talk about, like, I can understand how that makes sense in the context of, like, a Presbyterian body, where you have a presbytery and you're going to a different church in that presbytery, or even transferring
okay.
between presbyteries. But in a congregationally ruled mm-hmm. system, even, it's kind of cloudy on what that means and what that looks like.
Yeah. That's why I said the word handoff, because we do a membership interview with every person that comes in, even if they're coming from a sister church that we love and trust. So I'm not just going to take Calvary Bible Church's word for it. I'm going to have a membership interview with Linda myself. Not because I distrust her, but just because every person who comes in needs to be a Christian, and we want to make sure of that. So transfer is a word that is good and bad, in the sense that you want there to be that handoff from one church to the next, but in our congregational setting, we do have the same standards for it. Doesn't matter whether you're a new member, a brand new member, you're a brand new convert, being baptized, coming in for the first time, whether you're coming from a good sister church, you have to go through the same process. Other questions? Allie?
Mm-hmm. It's usually just, if you're giving, you're a member.
Yeah.
Or anything like that.
That doesn't count.
Because that's what we left to come here.
Mm-hmm.
That you still go through that process, but there is no technically no membership to the kingdom.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the biblical principle still applies, even if the structure and polity that you're in is not conducive to the biblical principles. All right, let me close in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your word. We pray that no one would ever leave our church, but seeing as that is not realistic, we pray that if and when we do leave our church, you would give us wisdom, grace, mercy in doing so. In Christ's name.